Hello, and welcome to Scaling Justice, a video podcast by Equivant that operates at the forefront of the justice space. The American justice system is multifaceted and oftentimes complex, but with each new episode, we want to explore best practices and innovations that not only help advance justice, but also impact all of us as practitioners, technologists, and even as members of our communities. I'm your host, Brendan Hughes, and I work with Equivant to help build more efficient, effective, and equitable justice agencies nationwide. One of the pressures that courts face today is using technology to end bottlenecks caused by staffing shortages, limited budget or resources, and increasing demand for services. The evolution of court systems is nothing new, and we've seen big changes before with legislative proposals or new business processes. But with the past few years, have been especially noteworthy because of the focus on technological innovation, unlike before. On today's episode of Scaling Justice, we speak with Sherry Lynn Akinosis-Wolf, who has worked with both technology available to courts and the outside influences they must respond to. She says the ability to automate some CMS processes has been around for years. Sherry believes that many courts could benefit from the opportunity to create seamless electronic processes that get files off desks and staff back out of the back room so they can advance justice as efficiently as possible. Welcome to the podcast, Sherry. Thank you for joining us today. So let's kick off today's discussion with you telling us a little bit more about your role at Equivant.
Okay. So I am a product portfolio manager. So I've actually had multiple roles here with Equivant. I'm on my 22nd year. And My purview of the world is that I concentrate on the case management system, of which we have several, probably know that if you don't. My goal is to make sure our CMS is best of breed, product, I want to ensure that we're competitive in the market space. We have all the functionality that we need to have, and we continue to evolve and improve our case management system with the trends and the changes in the court system.
Right. And so you must have seen a lot in the past 22 years, a lot of changes. Have the past 2 or 3 years been especially significant, or has it just been evolving all along?
It's always been evolving. So in the past few years, it's been concentrated on technology more so than any other time. There's been places where the business processes change significantly, especially when there's certain legislative reform across the nation. When we went through bail reform, we're still kind of going through bail reform. When going through certain scenarios like that, you'll see big changes. But these past few years has been about technology because that was the way that most of our court needed to communicate strictly through technology and not through the regular channels of walking into the courthouse.
Right. You know, that makes a lot of sense. I know Equivant released a white paper, Simplifying Court and Case Management in 4 Steps, How to Maximize Court Efficiency by Combining Technology with Workflow Tactics, late last year. In addition to those tech changes that are happening right now, are there other widespread changes that might influence why Equivant would want to discuss workflow and court management?
Much of it is around the technology, because workflow is about making sure that the courts are more efficient, especially if there's less staff, especially if they can't go through their regular paper processes that they may normally do. They move things to electronic triggers. And when that happens, then those type of triggers can happen silently. Okay. You don't have a piece of paper landing on your desk. You don't have the case file moving from room to room to room. So usually that's your trigger. And so what workflow does, it comes in and monitors those electronic triggers that used to be paper, and then does the action that a clerk normally would have done if it dropped into their inbox. Makes them a lot more efficient, and allows them to not be mired by electronic cues. Same thing as like an email inbox or, you know, that type of thing. Your inbox is getting so large that you can't attend to it. So it automates those incoming messages, incoming trigger, so it can do the action. We can program it to do the action that they would do.
And what are some of those triggers or actions that you're referring to?
That's a great question. So if a particular document came in through electronic filing, then the next step could be that it needs to be served out to the participants on the case. And so that process can be automated. And instead of waiting for someone to pick up that piece of paper because it came in through a paper filing, right? They've got to process that document through the system. Then they've got to create the service notification, print that out, stick it in an envelope, send it off. We do that, you know, kind of automatically, right? It comes in electronically. It creates that notice electronically. It sends an email out to the participant automatically. And so it becomes a seamless process and very little friction and touching of the system for our end users. And that's what workflow means, is that you have a business process that happens based on a trigger. And that process can go all the way through and doesn't need a lot of user interaction because it knows what it's doing. You've already told it what to do.
Right. And going back to the white paper I mentioned a few minutes ago, who are the people in the courts you envision using the white paper to create their workflows and automate their processes?
Yeah, so I would see like a supervisor of a division. So like a supervisor of a division of criminal cases, of civil cases. That type of person, IT, a court administrator.
All right. And then who else do you think could benefit from this technology?
Absolutely. So you would probably see like judicial staff get involved with that. Sometimes the judicial staff and judges, sometimes judges may not still look at it and go, no, because it is very technical, and you know, it's not about decision making. It's really about, you know, things moving around. But the judicial staff would be a person that would be involved with that, and then the clerk staff, because they're the ones that actually do the work.
Right. Great. So, why then is efficiency important for courts right now?
And I'm really interested in what you're hearing directly from Equivent clients about why this matters to them.
Yeah, so some of it is that with staff, so there's, you know, less staff than usual. There's less staff in the courthouse. So I never thought I would see it, but, you know, there are court staff is now distributed and working remotely. And so when you're not in the office, right, the technology becomes increasingly important. The electronic trigger, like I said before, becomes more important, and you don't want to be bombarded by your outside services like an email inbox, right? You want your CMS, your case management system, to be monitoring those triggers. So it could be staff because there's less staff, or it could be that they're distributed. So that is the reason why that workflow efficiency is important. Because that, you know, there's there's still an increase in caseload, especially in certain parts of the court system.
Where is that increase coming from?
So you'll see that in your foreclosures, right? You'll see that in some of your misdemeanors. So there's a trend right now where the like tickets are now decriminalized, and so there's a lot more people interacting with the court in a different way. Before they'd, you know, have to go to the courthouse and do, you know, their processes. Now that's all moved out to, you know, I need to look up a case. I need to, you know, pay my ticket online. I can do that. There's an increase there for that. Yeah. So technology is truly almost necessary. The way we communicate is through electronic means. And the way that that people are interacting with the court is now through an electronic means.
Yeah, that makes sense. So is this going to be a big change for a lot of courts? How many courts are using these kinds of automated workflow tactics?
Very little. So the pandemic caused most of our courts kind of forced them to fast track their electronic processes. So that, you know, before they may not have done any online filing at all or online payment. And now they had to do online, you know, payments, online filing in order to continue to process their cases. I've seen some workflow in systems, but they have been they've been manual. So they've only been like one step, like one trigger, one step. And workflow really means that you're doing multiple actions, and you're not just, you know, accepting the online e-filing document. You're going all the way through the process. So you're serving the participants at the end of it.
Why do you think it's taken this long for courts to adopt these systems?
You know, I think the resistance before was a distrust in the technology and security, right? So that is probably the biggest piece. I think there's always going to be some monetary issue there from some court. Of course, you're really small. But if you can't get past the distrust that what they're doing, what the courts are doing online is safe and secure, they can have all the money in the world and they still will go forward with that.
Right. So system administrators and court officials are understandably concerned about the safety and security of their systems. What would you say to allay their concerns about adopting a new system?
Oh, a great question, because, you know, this is what we talk to our, you know, our judges, our court administrators, our IT staff all the time. We've been in this business over 30 years. And we've been using a web-based product for over 20 years, where our customers are accessing all their case information through an internet browser. We understand security. We understand why safety is important, because we've done this from green screen all the way to web browser, all the way to hosted. And hosted is another newer technology for our court, where they don't have the servers, you know, on site. It's all in the cloud. And again, that's another, it's all about trust. Trust that their data is secure, their information is secure.
So you have every bit of confidence in the systems and controls that you have in place?
Yes, and the technology has been there for quite some time.
So it's not new technology, it's tested technology.
It is tested technology. So when it comes to security, yes. Yeah. and even and workflow is newer for our core. It's not necessarily newer for the case management system.
Okay. Do you have any examples of courts successfully integrating their workflow and technology to positively impact their operations?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have some like municipal courts that are doing workflow because they're a smaller court, smaller staff, volume is high, right? And so in order for them to get through their caseload efficiently, they've created workflows to do the repetitive steps that a clerk would normally do that we can program and have the system do for them.
And so how does this work? Do you guys work with folks hand in hand to help them with this? Or is this something where they just take the white paper and figure it out on their own? Or does it work either way?
Normally, there's two steps to it. So the first step, we've always tell our courts they need to look at their business processes. They need to see how their cases go through the process. Like, why is it, why is it going to someone's desk, the clerk's desk? Why does that case file now go to the judges? And follow that process through. So we can find, so they can then work with their vendor, their CMS vendor, to see what parts can we automate. It could be all of it. There might still be pieces there that we can't always automate because we have to wait for, there may be legislation that says you need a wet signature. And so, and we can identify that. We can identify those pieces with them. So normally we work hand in hand with our customers, but we also say you can do work now without your vendor. You can go through and start analyzing your business processes and see if there's any bottlenecks, if there are any places in your processes where you don't know what the next step is. And we can be tracking that next step for you.
Okay. What are the top lessons that you want courts to take away from the white paper?
Top is analyzing your business processes. That is the top of the list. And the reason why we say that is many times our processes could be based on workaround we've created because we did not have technology.
Do you have any examples of that?
Sure. So in many case management systems, there are things called due date trackers, for example, and there are like aging mechanisms. So I'll talk about those too. So due date trackers. So most cases have a specific timeline guideline that they have to follow. And when it doesn't happen, there should be some type of notification. But if it's all paper, then what they're doing is that their tickler or their trigger is actually a case file drawer. And they know they need to check that case file drawer, once a week, once a day. And they've always done that because they don't realize there's a time tracking mechanism inside their case management system.
Got it. So you don't have to check the drawer every day?
No, you don't have to. And you don't have to have your paper case files, stacked up beside your desk because you don't want to miss out that you're going to lose one of those files or miss the date. Because if you do miss the date, then that can change how cases are prosecuted. Because there's, like I said, there's a timeline. So there's a concept in the criminal world of speedy trial. So you have to hit these milestones within a case in order to, complete the case in a timely fashion and not have that case be dismissed on grounds or, you end up in an appeal court.
Right. So instead of having to check the files and do those sorts of mundane things, what else could the court personnel be doing while instead the CMS and the workflow are working together to make everything automated? What does that time give them, or what could they be doing instead?
And that's a hard question to answer, right? But certainly, you know, we've all experienced how low cases can progress, right? And how busy courthouses can be. And when we streamline these processes, or when we go through these workflows and things are automated, that could possibly, you know, lessen your foot traffic inside the courthouse, especially when it comes to things like, you know, filing. That can all be automated, you know, and all that communication is all done through technology. There'd be no reason for the court, for the person to be in your courthouse.
And that just means a quicker, more efficient justice system, right?
You know, we're all about simplifying justice. That's our motto.
Thank you, Sherry. This has been a fascinating discussion. Is there anything that I didn't ask that you'd like to address before we wrap up?
Yeah. So the one other thing I'd like to say about workflow, workflow helps with compliance. And this is a little bit more kind of adding on to like the speedy trial and the tracking the due date. And so, so when it comes to compliance, you know, making sure you're following your policies, whether you're following statute, whether you're following your administrative orders, that you're doing that efficiently, doing that without error, it can reduce your bottleneck. And that's what makes things slow down at a court, is that you have, you know, you have to correct errors that are happening, right? And you have to get through those bottlenecks.
Okay, so when you say bottlenecks, it's a place where things slow down.
Yeah, because, you know, again, if because something's sitting on your desk, right, or something is sitting in the file, then we're waiting on a person to do that action. If the computer is already, if the CMS is already configured to do those next steps, we're no longer waiting on a person. And what we're doing is we're really reducing that back office repetitive work, so the court is freer to work with, you know, to do customer service, you know, work with their customers, the constituents that are walking through the door, that have to walk through the door, as opposed to being in the back office and, you know, doing some of that, like I said, you know, I don't want to say menial, but the repetitive, right? The repetitive task that a case management system can do for you.
Perfect. That's a great way to end. Thank you so much, Sherry. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome.
And thank you to our audience for listening in on this edition of Scaling Justice, brought to you by Equivant. Contact us at info@equivant.com to weigh in on this episode, or let us know what topics you'd like to hear more about. If you'd like to check out our white paper on simplifying court and case management in 4 steps, visit our website at www.equivant.com, or you can click on the link below in the notes section. Until next time, I'm your host, Brendan Hughes, and I look forward to scaling justice with you.